Well, let's start at John 3:16. And I had a couple different ideas. I prayed about it, and the Lord didn't give me a lot of clarity until yesterday on what we're going to do today here. Sometimes, for me anyway, I'm a little thick-headed, and the Lord, I don't know if the Lord's telling me or my flesh is telling me, so I'm getting two or three ideas of what to do. What I'll do is I'll pray about it and listen to some other preaching and teaching, and then something speaks to me, and I'll think that's what we need at the church. So I was listening to several different preaching and teaching things this week, and one of them, the guy was talking about different judgments. And there are a lot of different judgments in the Bible. If you look back, he judged Adam and Eve. They were guilty when they ate the fruit on the tree. Judgment in Noah's day. There were judgments when Moses was walking around. And remember, people were the earth swallowing people up and all kinds of things. Judged Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want to talk about three judgments tonight that are essential for us to understand, so we don't get carried away with crazy doctrine. So, in John 3:16, we know the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we see that sacrifice. But look at Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, I'll go ahead and write these down. John 3:16, Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So He became accursed for us. He did not deserve any of that. He took everything we deserved on Him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now listen to the wording of this very carefully. Verse 21. "For He hath made Him," talking about Jesus Christ, "for He hath made Him be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." He was made sin for us. So when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, God didn't see His innocent Son. He saw the sin of the world, and He judged that sin. That's very important to understand. That's something most born-again believers don't understand. He judged sin. That's why sometimes I say this, and you might think, that don't sound right. People don't actually go to hell for their sin. Their sin's already been judged. They go to hell for rejecting the judgment that was already done on Calvary. Amen. They go for rejecting Jesus Christ. Yep. They choose to be judged by their works. Yep. Right. And I don't care who you're talking to or what system they come out of. If they're either trusting Jesus Christ or they're trusting their works. Amen. But sin was judged on Calvary. See, that's a good answer, too. It's a good explanation, too. So how could I be saved and still sin? Every sin you ever committed was judged on Calvary before you ever committed it. Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was crucified before you were born. And in God's mind, He was crucified before the world. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world because that was God's plan. So sin was judged completely on Calvary. That's why it says, Christ died for all. He judged every man, woman, and child's sin on Calvary. Judged, done. Done, done, done. So what you're looking at when you're looking at a born-again believer is you're looking at somebody that has a standing. Which is either, if you're saved, you are saved and in Christ. And then your state, that's the condition you're in as a Christian. That's the condition of your life. Now you can have the standing of being in Christ and your life can be trash. You've seen it. And we could say we've seen it in other people, but you've seen it in your own life one time or another. I don't care if it's for 1 hour or 1 day or 1 month or 10 years. We've all been there. Where our standing was in Christ, but our state, we were a mess. You know. So, sin was judged on Calvary. Look at, I'm going to write 2 Corinthians 5:21 up there before I forget. So, another part of that sin judgment, turn to Romans chapter 3. Hopefully, when we're done tonight, you won't be afraid to meet the Lord when He comes back tomorrow morning, hopefully. Amen? Because you'll have some more assurance of your salvation. Romans chapter number 3. Look at 21 and 22. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So right there it says the righteousness of God is upon all them that believe. So what happened on Calvary, the first judgment? Sin was judged. Okay, so when you trust Him, like we've talked about before, that is placed on your account, or your sin is placed on His account, and it's already paid for. But what happens is He places His righteousness on you. That's what we're just looking at in Romans chapter number 3. Look at this verse again, 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. So His righteousness is on you. How's that? Because when you get saved, you're placed in Christ. So sin was judged. That's the first judgment I want to talk about. The second judgment I want to talk about is in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, let's do 11 through 15. All right, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the judgment of the dead. We're not the dead. When we leave this place, if we don't go in the rapture, we're asleep in Christ. The body sleeps in the grave. The soul goes back to God, goes to heaven. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. But that judgment's there is for those folks that choose to be judged by their own works. And they don't go to hell for their works. They go to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. And I'm not 100% sure, because man don't understand this whole book. And I've had a lot of people say, well, this is just the judgment of that. I don't know. There might be some people there judged from a different dispensation too that may or may not be saved. I don't know. It really gets kind of confusing. Because I know it says, if their name, those are not written in the book of life. So maybe there are some that are that got there by faith and works. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to tell you I am. But I do know when he's talking about judging people by their works, he's not talking about us. Because we're not judged by our works. We're judged by whether or not we trust and call on Christ. And we're trusting in the blood atonement that he made. So sin is judged. And then we have the judgment. We'll call it the judgment of the lost. Because primarily that's what we're looking at for sure. And I just don't want to take and say that's all there is there, because to me it looks like there might be another possibility. I won't believe it just because if every other man in the world believes it, they could be wrong. You know what I mean? About this. I do not understand exactly what's going on. There may be some people from another dispensation there that are saved. I don't know. I'm not saying there is or isn't. I'm just telling you that's a possibility. I don't want to exclude that. So we got the sin is judged, the first one. Second one, judgment of the lost. Okay, so everybody in here, I hope and pray that you remember a time where you realized you were a sinner. You realized Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. He shed his blood for you, and you called on him, trusted him and all, him alone. Not church membership, not water baptism, not your works, not putting money in a plate, not somebody else's prayer, not just a prayer, but the blood of Christ, trusting what he's done, the death, burial, and resurrection. I hope and pray that. And if that's the case, I mean, the sin of the world is already judged, and you accepted that. You don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about that at all. Which brings us to 2 Corinthians. Oops. 2 Corinthians. Let's read down through here ways. Second Corinthians 5. Let's start in 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So there's the down payment. We're looking for the new body. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So that doesn't mean, that's not talking about salvation, whether you're accepted for salvation. It's talking about whether he's pleased with you. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is Paul talking to saved people, not just talking to the world in general. He's talking to people that are born again. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So, he's saying that it's going to be a fearful time to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, even though you're saved. So get right and do right. That's what Paul's saying. So that's the judgment that we want to look at, and that's the judgment of the believer's work. Not works for salvation, but that's when the fire sale happens. That's when you see what makes it and what doesn't through the fire. And wouldn't it be, I mean, I do believe that probably will be like this. You probably, talk about different crowns you can earn in the Bible and different stones in the crown and all this thing, gold, silver, and precious stones, talking about souls won to Christ, talking about different things done for Christ and different crowns for Christ. And I believe that in eternity there's a real good possibility people will be able to look at you and know what you've done for Christ forever. Amen? And I believe it'll be after we lay it at his feet. And he said, no, go ahead, and he'll put it on. Wouldn't it be something? He laid it at his feet, and he'll say, no. Whew, about make you sweat, won't it? But wouldn't that be something? That'd be terrible for him to say, sorry, next. Got nothing for you, nothing made it through the fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, let's go for... First Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God, because we don't do anything for God without him. And what we do without him is not going to make it through the fire. Ye are God's husbandry. What's the he do? That's taking care of. God's talking about taking care of a vineyard, taking care of a garden system. He's talking about taking care of something that produces fruit. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, and stubble, or hay, wood, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay? So it's a purification process. But notice the wording. I mean, we read down through this. There's so much in this book, you can't catch it all. If you read it 1,000 times a day, you'd miss something. But notice the wording. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. When he's talking about this judgment, and he's talking about works, look what he says in verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we know this isn't a judgment of somebody's works for salvation, because they're building on Christ. You got to have Christ before you can build on him. Right? So this is obviously saved people at the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment, but at the judgment seat of Christ, and the works. When you're saved, you're on Christ. All other ground is sinking sand, right? But you're saved. You're talking about building on Christ. And what are you building on Christ? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Well, look what he says in verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. If you're not doing it with God, you're building hay, wood, and stubble. You're throwing hay, wood, and stubble up there. And there again, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. That is going to be terrifying for everybody. You're going to sit there and watch things you thought you'd done for the Lord go and gone. You know, you go up there thinking, man, I got three crowns looking for. And you end up with like a ring with a little tiny thing in it. I don't know. But I mean, maybe, we're all going to lose something. There's no doubt about it. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we're saved. We're not going to lose our salvation at this judgment. We're going to lose rewards or see what we get through here. And, I hope and pray that everybody's been faithful in this church since I've been here. I hope you all have a bucket load of gold, silver, and precious stones and 4 or 5 crowns. And I hope Jesus Christ, I hope you lay them back at his feet. And I hope he says, no, wear these for eternity so people know what you've done for me and know how worthy I am. I hope everybody in this church does that. But you got to understand, if you don't understand these judgments, the devil will mess you all up. There's the main judgment to understand right there. Sin has already been judged. Like I said before, God took the sin debt of the world to hell and dropped it off.
Amen.
And when you trust Him, you don't have to go there with it. But you will without Christ. If you anybody without Christ that's trusting their own works, they go to Revelation chapter 20 and that white throne judgment, and they're going to go with their sin to hell for the rest of eternity. So, well, hell ends. No, hell's cast into a lake of fire. And then the hell's in a lake of fire for eternity. That lake of fire is eternal. So, these three judgments, sin has already been judged. And you'll get some people that'll say, well, oh, the whole world's going to be saved because it's not God's will that any should perish. And God, where's the verse in there? It says, God will that all men to be saved. Well, that doesn't mean God's will is always done. His will is that everybody gets saved. Everybody doesn't get saved. I mean, I want everybody to get saved. I wish every time I said, hey, look at this track right here. Look what it says right here. Look at, you know, back in the Old Testament, they had to have the blood of bulls and goats. But that wouldn't take away sins. Look over here in Hebrews. And look at this. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died and shed God's blood. And He died, buried, and rose again, and He done it for you. And if you just trust Him, and I wish everybody I said that to just hit their face and cry out and say, save me, forgive me, save me. It don't happen. I hope we get to heaven and we find out a lot more people did than we know about. Probably, hopefully, people we've got on the prayer list and have had for years that we find out they got saved. But that judgment right there, sin's already been judged. And you don't have to, nobody has to go to this. Except for the folks that have already passed on without Christ. But there's no excuse. Sin's been judged on Calvary. The judgment seat of the lost, the white throne judgment, great white throne judgment. And then the judgment of the believer's works. And see, these folks here, remember, they're judged by their works. Your works are judged. You're not being judged by your works. Your works are being judged to see if you have any rewards. This is about eternal damnation. This is about eternal rewards. So a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people do not understand that verse right, that point right there, that sin has already been judged. Let's look at Acts 13 real quick. Acts chapter 13. This will oil your amener if it's rusty. Let's look at verse 33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that He hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. So there's talking about in Psalm about Jesus Christ. And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, He saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. See that? He fell on sleep. Isn't that something? David was saved. David had works involved in his salvation too, but he also, we'll get into that a little bit too. But he whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, here he's talking to Jews, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things,
amen,
from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Amen.
See that? That's one of the most important verses in the Bible, and nobody knows what it says. Let's read that again. And by him all that believe are justified from all things,
amen,
from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Amen.
David was saved and went to heaven. David's coming back to this earth to rule and reign again,
yep,
as a prince and a king. But look what it says, the sure mercies of David. Think about this. David fell asleep because he was saved. Think about this verse for a second again. We'll read it one more time. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. David committed two sins there wasn't a blood sacrifice for. And he's in heaven. What were the two sins? Murder and adultery. There was no blood sacrifice for that. They stoned him to death for that. There was no blood sacrifice for those two things. David committed both of them. And David begged God in his faith. David had works and faith. And when his works failed him, his faith got him back to God. It was works and faith. It's all faith right now in Jesus Christ's finished work. But isn't that interesting? Anybody in here say, I really never noticed that before? Amen. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, look at that. I'm going to read that verse again. That's good stuff. Amen. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's a sacrifice made that'll pay a debt that can't be paid by anything else, and that's Jesus Christ. He could pay the debt for adultery, murder, fornication, everything. And he's done that. Right there. Blood of bulls and goats couldn't clear David. But he's offering people today the sure mercies of David. You know, David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. You know why he was blessed? Because he deserved to die and go to hell, and God did not impute that sin to him. Isn't that something? That's an amazing book, isn't it? Yeah. Aren't you glad you showed up just for Acts 13? Praise the Lord. Any questions? I'm going to mark that down somewhere so you can read it every once in a while. Yeah, all. Amen. I like that word all. Sister?
I like this verse so much because when we were sitting there at the table, they said, hey, my friend was talking to them about, how to be saved, and they said they were Christian. And I noticed this about people that really don't go to church or their lives and things, even though they say they're saved, God's the judge.
Yeah. Well, that's what the devil's done. You've got 35 different flavors of beliefs out there that tell you you have to be baptized in water. Yes. And the Baptists tell you you don't, but they baptize you in water. So they don't understand the Bible. They're like, well, why are you telling me you're not? And then you dunk them in water. You don't have to. Well, you don't have to. You have to for your walk, not for salvation. But they don't understand that. You got to show them in the Bible. And the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 2, verse 38, Peter's telling somebody to get baptized so they'll receive the Holy Ghost. He's talking to Jews. This is a different. It's a transition. And one of the devil's biggest masterpieces is saying there is no dispensations. There's nothing different in Genesis and Revelation. Hogwash. That Bible makes no sense without dispensations. Because you can look at what Peter's telling them and say, good night, I'm lost. You can look at Paul and say, I can't lose it. Then you can look back at Samson and say, he lost it and got it back. Then you can look at Saul and say, he lost it, couldn't get it back. David was afraid he was going to lose it, and he's in heaven. Amen? There's different dispensations. God dealt with people different ways. And just like Abraham wasn't justified, and his salvation was different than ours, even though it had the same flavor as far as justification and righteousness. They were two different times, years apart. Years are instant, because Jesus Christ hadn't been crucified yet. Hebrews chapter 9, the death of the testator straightens out that whole Old Testament, New Testament schism. That's where it changes, the death of the testator. That's the reason people couldn't come anywhere, go to heaven before Jesus Christ died. They were in Abraham's bosom, in the center of the earth. The thief on the cross, Jesus Christ had to die before he could be with him. Jesus died first. He wasn't fighting to live. The other two were. They come and break their legs, so they quit fighting. He died willingly. And he died before the thief on the cross. So that dispensationally, it makes sense why the thief could go to paradise with him that day, because Jesus Christ shed his blood before the thief died.